In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Decades ago, in New York City, two teenagers met at a college freshman orientation. One was from Queens, the other from Buffalo. The two hit it off immediately, bonding over their shared love of music and literature, and they decided to room together, promising they would always be there for each other. Not long after, Sandy, the kid from Buffalo, began having problems with his vision, and after an initial misdiagnosis, learned that he had severe glaucoma and would soon go completely blind. Devastated and depressed, Sandy left school and moved back home, giving up his dream of becoming a lawyer, totally stressed out about becoming a burden to his family. But his college roommate and buddy wouldn't give up on him. True to their promise to always be there for each other, Art showed up on Sandy's doorstep one day, convinced him to come back, and pledged to stay by his side to help him make it through and to catch him if he fell, both literally and figuratively. The two returned to college, and Sandy began navigating his way through this new world, day by day by day, with Art, who organized his schedule around Sandy, by his side. Until one day in Grand Central Station, when Art told Sandy that he needed to leave him. And for 2 hours, Sandy struggled by himself, bumping into people, into things, falling, gashing his leg. He finally arrived at his destination on 116th Street, and a voice came up alongside, a familiar one. "Sandy, it's me, Art." Art went on to explain that he had followed Sandy and been watching him the whole time, but that he felt that it was time to allow Sandy the gift of experiencing that he could make it on his own. Later, Sandy would describe how that moment was the spark that caused me to live a completely different life without fear, without doubt. And for that, I am tremendously grateful to my friend. Sandy went on to marry his high school sweetheart. He earned graduate degrees from Harvard and Oxford. And eventually, he became a successful entrepreneur and philanthropist. One day, while he was back at Oxford, Sandy heard from his old buddy Art. He needed help. It turns out he and a high school friend of his wanted to record their first album, and he needed $400, and he didn't have that money. Sandy and his wife, Sue, had all of $404 in their bank account, but they decided to give it to Art. Well, the album that Art and his high school buddy, Paul, recorded the following year did not succeed, but one of their songs hit number one on the charts, and we know the first line of that song. It echoes how Sandy always greeted his faithful college friend, because when they were in college together navigating that new normal and Sandy was plunged into a world of darkness, Art started calling and referring to himself as darkness. And he'd come along, Sandy, and say, "Darkness is going to read to you now. Darkness is going to help you pick up what you just dropped. Darkness is going to hold you right now." "Hello, darkness, my old friend," is how Sandy would greet Art. And that song, "The Sound of Silence," is one I think most of us know, and Simon and Garfunkel. We have heard that name. That song echoing the desire of a friend, wanting to gift another friend with the reassurance that even in and despite the darkness, their friendship and love and loyalty to one another would keep them connected and unite them. That separation was in fact an illusion. Separation was not reality. And that Sandy was not alone. Even on that hellish day in Grand Central Station that changed Sandy's life, Art had been there all along. Today's message from the Gospel, according to John's telling, evokes and conveys a similar message coming from the heart of one beloved friend in an effort to reassure his beloveds, his faithful friends and followers, that even though he was going to be leaving them, they would not be alone and they would never be alone. As with all passages from Scripture, there are three ways to enter into this story. The first way is through the actual narrative that's being told, a narrative that we're all familiar with on the night before Jesus was betrayed, what he did and how he chose to be. In fact, the Gospel according to John takes four chapters, chapters 13 through 17, to convey how Jesus wanted to instruct his friends and guide them and comfort them and pray for them. And we hear part of that prayer today. Oh, Father, the glory that you have given me, I have given them so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. And we can also bring to mind the commandment, not invitation, the commandment to love, to make it a practice. So we hear the words, to be a part of the relationship of oneness in love between Father and Son, between God and Jesus, and to take part in this relationship as the foundational reality, what's really real, and to act and choose to live out of this foundation. That's the first way to enter into this story, through the narrative of what's happening. The second way is to actually take a look at what's happening in history when this gospel is being written and told. The Gospel of John is the latest of the four in our scripture and was written and told and pulled together decades after the events in Nazareth. And the gospel writer was writing during a very difficult time, a time of discord and division. Folks were being kicked out of the synagogue for following Jesus. And so what can imagine the urgency with which this message was being proclaimed? Do not be afraid. I am with you. God is with you. We are one. God and me, you and me, you and this relationship of love, foundational, what's really real. And of course, the third way to enter into this story is in our present day. How do the words of Jesus, as told through the voice of John, speak to us today in our time, in our place? A time of division and discord and disunity that I don't need to give any examples of because we all know them and are living through them. Hear the message again. Separateness is an illusion. There is no other. The fundamental reality that we are invited into is one of oneness and unity and love. We are commanded to act out of this. And so the question is, which do we choose to manifest in our place, in our time? Do we choose to manifest and perpetuate the illusion of being separate, or do we choose to manifest love? Again, I don't need to go into the examples of the other kind. But I would like to offer examples of unity and oneness and drawing towards the other, because in reality, there is no other. There's an organization called the Seeds of Peace, which since the mid-1990s has brought together young people from conflicting areas around the world, like Israel and Palestine, and taught them and encouraged them a new way, a third way, cultivating leaders for the next generation. There are now over 800 alumni seeds out in the world, and there was a survey of about 100 of those young people asking them what they're doing now with their lives, and at least 40 of those 100 surveyed had started or were leaders in nonprofits and organizations building and cultivating peace. There's that organization called Coming to the Table, which we were drawn into just a few weeks ago. Descendants of slaves and descendants of slaveholders coming together at the same table, manifesting the words of the prophet Martin Luther King Jr., that all children would gather at one table, regardless of race or creed. And then right here, closer to home, just the other day, there was a beautiful, hope-filled excursion out to Deweese Park, just a couple miles from here. Children from our Redeemer Parish Day School, first graders, and children from Govan's Elementary School, first graders, who have been pen pals over the pandemic and writing to one another. They got to meet each other for the first time, and each buddy met their own buddy, and they went out to the park, and they went on scavenger hunts, and they sang, and they played. There was one little girl at the end of the day when they had to go home who said to her buddy and grabbed onto her and said, "I don't want you to leave me. I want you to stay with me forever." And the other girl said, "I don't want to leave you either. I want to stay with you forever." That is the foundational and fundamental reality. People meeting across socioeconomic and racial lines, people who grab onto each other, "Don't leave me," that is what we are asked to choose every day. And in fact, this fundamental unity is so strong and so lasting that not even death separates us, that the parting of death itself is an illusion. I'd like to share a story from my own experience. As most of you know, my mom surrendered her spirit on the 4th of May, just a couple minutes after midnight. And I had been steeped in these Easter stories of resurrection and bathing and anointing bodies of beloveds. And so my sister and I chose and decided to bathe my mom and to anoint her with oil. We knew that her cousins, my titas, were on the road, on the way to come see her. And so we called them to let them know that she had given up her spirit. Did they still want to come? And they said, "Yes, we're coming." So it was a little after 3:30, between 3:30 and 4 in the morning, and Narisa, my sister, and I decided to go to the Royal Farm Store to get food because we didn't have anything to feed the titas who were coming. And so my sister is driving, and she's holding my hand. The rain starts falling from the sky, tears start falling from both our faces, and the first thought in my mind as we're driving from our parents' house to the Royal Farm Store is, "Mom, what now? How are we going to communicate? How are you going to communicate with me now? What's going to happen now?" At 3:47 in the morning, so a minute or two after my prayer thoughts are happening, I get a text from my dear friend Anna Noon, who some of you know, who is a priest who is now in Spain, living in Spain, so 6 hours ahead, doesn't know that my mom has given up her spirit. The text at 3:47 a.m. says, "Look what I just passed." And then she texts me a photograph, which is now the screensaver on my phone. And the photograph, she had been walking on the beach, and the photograph was of a heart that had been dug into the sand, huge, with the letters C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, spelled correctly for me because it's Spanish. And that's all I needed to hear and see in that moment. And whenever, and it's just like my mom to kind of give me a big sign and say I'm going on, whenever I start doubting, I just look at a screensaver on my phone. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what's really real. How do we choose to act given that? Amen.